MP3 number one, mindfulness to help you stay healthy. Morning, this is Charlie Curtis. I never thought I'd be doing this presentation from here. I thought we'd all be together in the group setting talking about mindfulness and in all the different settings, medical, mental health, academic, ashram, spirituality, and just to see how we could all just kind of try some techniques and get a flavor for what it's like. And in the past 2 weeks, it feels like the world has fallen apart, at least according to the cover of the New York Times I picked up this morning. So I've altered the nature of this. This is not going to be just mindfulness, what's in it for you. This topic is changed to mindfulness to help you stay healthy. Just to give you my background, I started practicing mindfulness back in the 70s. I spent 2 years in an ashram. And since then, I've done approximately 3 hours of meditation a day between then and now. So it adds up to a seemingly impressive 49,000 hours or so. But in the mindfulness world, we don't look at numbers to see how cool we are. It's simply a sign that we have had some sort of daily discipline, some sort of practice. Because mindfulness is something you do one day at a time, 1 minute at a time, and literally one breath at a time. And so in a few minutes, I'm going to be talking about why that's important, why we would want to do that, why do we want to practice this thing called mindfulness or meditation. What I do professionally is I work with clients who are recovering from medical or mental health conditions, and they often have lots of symptoms going on, grievous symptoms, lots of pain, muscle tension, and lots of emotional stress. And so I help them relax and achieve a better life. In some cases, we're able to roll back their symptoms completely and give them a complete remission. And the reason for that is not because we're so wonderful, but because the body is so wonderful. If you can take the stress out of the body is capable of miraculous recoveries. But the other side of that is that when you leave the stress in the body, then the body doesn't do so well. And I'll be talking about that in a few minutes. But the history of mindfulness, back when I was in the ashram, not many people were talking about it except those of us hippies who were interested in such things. But since then, it's begun to become much more and more popular, and in the last few years, it's taken the world by storm. What I do in the mental health setting is called mindfulness-based cognitive therapy, where we work under supervision from a medical person who has diagnosed a client with some sort of medical problem for which MBCT, mindfulness-based cognitive therapy, can be helpful. And one of the things that it's really good for is chronic pain. We get a lot of clients who have chronic pain, especially chronic pelvic pain. The clinic specializes in that kind of patients, so we get to see a lot of that, and that's a pretty nasty thing where all the muscles in the area of the pelvis squeeze tight and stay squeezed, and that causes a terrible pain, terrible suffering, and the person just can't enjoy life. They can't be sexual. They can't have normal function in that part of their body. Their physiology is disturbed. They end up in the doctor's office and come away with a whole list of medications, which oftentimes makes their life even more miserable because of side effects. So anything that we can do to help this get better is something that's really, really important. And in fact, we know a lot of techniques that are really powerful. Quite often within 30 days, we can make a marked difference. We have one 30-day journaling program, for example, that if people go through it, it's very often within 30 days, their pain is gone or mostly gone, even if they've had that pain for years. And that journaling program has been around for 20 years, but not very many people know about. It's a very specialized thing that only people working in the field have knowledge of. So what have I done personally? For the last 35 years, I've worked in the field of mind-body, helping people relax and get over their problems, get rid of their stress. I'm trained as a hypnotherapist. In fact, I'm a BCH, a board-certified hypnotist, so that means I help people get rid of smoking and stress and things like that. But I've gone beyond that and done a lot of graduate work and so learned a lot about how to help people with some pretty difficult mental health issues and other things. So what is mindfulness? Mindfulness, in a sentence, is simply being mindful. That is, your mind being full of that which you would like to be paying attention to. In other words, if you're driving, being mindful is paying attention to your driving, being present, staying safe. If you're with your life partner, then mindful is being with them, listening to them, hearing them, feeling their energy, being there for them. If you're doing an activity of any kind, being present with that activity. So mindfulness has a history that goes back thousands of years. If you learned it from one of the meditative traditions, like I did, there are certain cultures that have specialized in meditation. They're really good at it, and they have developed all kinds of techniques and ideas for helping your life be better. But even Western culture, which has less of a focus on meditation, in some of the monastic traditions in Christianity, for example, there are monks who learned how to do meditation and wrote interesting books about it. You know, the cloud of unknowing, the practice of the presence, things like that. And in the Jewish tradition, there's also a mystical tradition that has meditation in it, and so on. It seems as if all the major religions, no matter from what part of the world they come, have some sort of focus on an activity that you can do every day that will make your life better. And they seem to coalesce around the same thing, paying attention in a specific way that is calming and that is peaceful and that helps you relax. Now, in this country, somewhat over 30 years ago, a person called Jon Kabat-Zinn, who was an instructor at the University of Massachusetts Medical School, did a lot of meditation on his own. It was just a personal practice, and he worked a lot with pain patients in his medical practice. And he began to wonder if meditation could help his pain patients have a better experience, because he had just seen how relaxed and peaceful people got when they did meditation, how their muscles relaxed, and he'd heard stories of pain going away, so he knew all of that. And so he got permission from the hospital to do a pilot study with a pain program, and they did that, and it was quite successful. And so what they've ended up doing is this thing called MBSR, which is mindfulness-based stress reduction. And in mindfulness-based stress reduction, you go for 8 weeks, and at that 8 weeks, you learn a whole bunch of different things to do. Every week, you do different things. You get better at focusing in on the stuff that makes your body relax, that makes your body heal. And at the end of that 8 weeks, you're sent home with instructions on how to continue doing it. And along the way, they do an outcome study. So how were you when you began? How were you when you ended? And they have all kinds of statistics like pain being cut in half, sometimes going away completely, symptoms in reduction dramatically. And these weren't people who wanted to learn meditation. These are just people that doctors are sending because the stuff the doctor's doing isn't working. And so people are having dramatic reductions in medical symptoms, dramatic reductions in pain, and incredible increases in peace of mind. So after that had been going on for quite a few years, some people in the mental health community said, I wonder if this could be helpful for mental health issues. And so that was about 15 years ago. And since then, thousands of studies have been performed, and it has been shown that mindfulness is dramatically helpful in helping people get into a more peaceful place. And it seems to work with all kinds of mental disorders, the things like, you know, depression and other things that plague a lot of people. So it's not only the physical things, but it's the mental things. And just in terms of normal stress, you may not qualify for a diagnosis of major depression, but you may still not be a happy camper. You may still feel stressed. You may be shy. You may be nervous in social situations. There may be a number of reasons why you're not having fun. And so mindfulness is a practice that can help you do that. Now, when I was in the ashram, they taught us to do this thing called beginner's mind. Now, beginner's mind is a place that you get into as if you were a baby, and babies are seeing life for the first time. So we say that babies are in beginner's mind, or a young child. They're looking at life through fresh eyes. You know, they can look at a soap bubble floating through the air, and they can be totally mesmerized and get joy out of that soap bubble floating through the air. And we adults look at that and say, yeah, right, soap bubble. We don't even pay it any attention. I remember going to Christmas celebrations where the little children were having more fun playing with the boxes the toys came in than with the toys themselves. So little kids have a way to look at life through what we call beginner's mind, and it's a very healing state of mind. And one of the things I like to do is to go up to Hawk Mountain Wildlife Sanctuary, and there's an outlook there that looks out on a broad vista of natural valley. It's unspoiled, hasn't been developed. And it's called Hawk Mountain because it's a migration point for thousands and thousands of hawks every year that are making either the north or the south migration because of the cold weather coming or going. And one of the things I like to do up there is meditation. Meditation comes easily in that location, I find. And so I'll sit there in my hiking boots. And one of the things I often notice is that after a couple of minutes, there are ants crawling over my shoe to get from one side of my hiking boot to another, because they wanted to get from point A to point B. And today, when they went out, there was this big thing in their way. And because that big thing is part of their world, they just climb up and over that big thing, my shoe, and down the other side. And so what that means to me is that I'm part of their world. I am rooted in this universe. I belong here. I grew here. You could say the earth, just like the earth has animals and plants, the earth peoples. The earth naturally has people in it. We belong here. And when I move into that beginner's mind up on this outlook, a couple of things happen to me. First of all, I begin to notice myself becoming more relaxed. And I begin to hear more. All of my senses sharpen. For example, I can hear the insects buzzing. I can hear the hawks if they're up in the air, if they're making any sounds. I can hear animals. I can hear the people around me because there's hiking trails and people are moving by and going places. So my perception expands and I become more aware of not only my body, but where I am in time and space, and also what it's like to be within the context of life itself. And as I continue to move deeper and deeper into meditation, I begin to become aware that I am not any of these things, that I am the observer of these things. And pretty soon my attention starts to become very, very focused. And as it becomes more and more focused, things start to become more beautiful. And that's an important component of what we're going to be talking about today. When you go into beginner's mind, life seems more beautiful. And life didn't change. What happens is you changed. You became more tuned in to the essential nature of life. And when you tuned into the essential nature of life, you found that it was beautiful. And I'm saying you because everybody who practices meditation sooner or later learns how to do this thing called beginner's mind. And when they get into it, one of the characteristics of beginner's mind is that life is beautiful. There's a place I go around here called French Creek State Park. I do a lot of meditation there. And as I come down the hill, coming home from French Creek, I go through this little old industrial town called Birdsboro that used to be a hotbed of activity years and years ago when there was much more steel mill activity around here than there is now. And so normally, if I just come down the hill and I'm in a normal adult frame of mind, I'm just driving down into Birdsboro, paying attention to my thoughts, and I'll notice businesses that are not doing well or that are boarded up because a lot of businesses moved elsewhere, and a lot of the mill workers who used to live there have moved elsewhere. But if I'm beginner's mind, when I come down that hill, it's so different. Everything is beautiful. And I see not just myself and my driving and the road, but I look and I see the whole valley spread out before me. I see the Schuylkill River Valley extending beyond. I see the hills on either side because it's in a hilly mountain area. And everything is beautiful. And it reminds me of that song. You've probably heard it. It was quite popular for a while. everything is beautiful in its own way. That's what beginner's mind is like. And there have been a couple of times when there was something on my mind and I'm driving down that hill and all of a sudden I pop into beginner's mind and I notice as everything becomes beautiful as I'm driving. And so beginner's mind is something that doesn't just happen when I'm doing formal meditation. When you get into mindfulness meditation, they suggest that you practice it anytime you want to relax and be more peaceful. And so I'll be driving the road up to the clinic where I see my clients, and I'll go into mindfulness, and all of a sudden I'm more relaxed, and the world is more peaceful, and I'm sitting more comfortably in the driver's seat. It's like my body has relaxed completely from my toes to the top of my head, and I'm enjoying the countryside, and I'm seeing the beauty of the trees and everything as I drive these roads up to where the clinic is. And 2 minutes before that, I was just driving. I popped into beginner's mind, and everything is beautiful. And the reason why I'm bringing all this up and going on and on about beginner's mind is I'm going to teach you how to get into beginner's mind today. And when you're in beginner's mind, your immune function is much, much higher. And there have been scientific studies shown on meditation techniques that I've actually measured immune system function before and after. So not only are you more relaxed, not only are you in a state of mind where you're feeling more peaceful, but your immune function is higher. And so in this period right now, where we're all stressing about this coronavirus and we're told to socially isolate so that we won't be exposed and that, you know, people of a certain age group or with certain health conditions are more at risk. So we have all this stuff on our mind. The ability to raise our immune function through doing just a few minutes of something with your mind, which I'm going to teach you today, that's really good information. And in fact, as I go through the scientific documentation on it, you're going to find that it actually can be life-saving. I teach a 48-week class to medical and mental health persons. And what I teach these people is often graduate school textbooks. All of this stuff has been studied for years and years. Some of it goes all the way back nearly 100 years. And it's all about the fact that relaxation is incredibly good for the body. It's incredibly healthy for the body. And that if you want to recover from something or be immune to getting it in the first place, being relaxed is really something in your favor. In other words, I mentioned earlier that I work with a lot of people with chronic illness. And what we found is if we can roll back the stress level enough, that the chronic illness can begin to heal. And sometimes, at least we keep it from getting worse, and it can begin to heal. And sometimes we can roll it back completely. Sometimes it disappears. I've had a lot of people who were able to go to their doctor, and their doctor said, it's not there. And so this is really important. I mean, if you have a chronic condition, it's good to know that something like mindfulness can help improve your health and that the scientific studies are there. Because mindfulness has taken off as a craze today, now there's mindfulness everywhere. There's mindfulness apps on the internet. There's literally thousands of meditations done by people that you can download or upload or pull onto your MP3 player or get in a book or hear somebody talk about in a video talk. And everybody's excited about it because it's really making a difference. Because in Western culture, we don't know how to relax. We know how to go faster. We don't know how to go slower. And we don't realize that when we go slower, not only do we get to enjoy life, our tension and stress go away, and we get to relax and find beautiful things in life experience, but our bodies are so much healthier. And so today, I'm going to talk about this stuff, some of the stuff that I teach in this mind-body class. People actually come for a year and do all these techniques to learn how to do this with their clients and their patients. And today I'm going to teach one of these techniques to you. And so the name of this technique, and there's a handout that comes along with this recording. And so you can open up that handout. It's a PDF. You can print it out if you want to read it and look at it while you're watching me. Or you can just listen to me and look at it later. But I'm going to talk about life now. The thing about life is right now we're being told by all the mental health people to do only essential activities. In other words, they don't want us doing things that are going to put us at risk, and that's very good advice. And I suggest that you follow it. But I'm also going to suggest that paying attention to the goodness and the peacefulness and the healing nature of life when you get yourself relaxed, I think that's an essential activity. So I'm calling that essential life. That when we get in touch with the essentialness of life, we find that that is healing. And so today's meditation is grounding yourself in essential life. Grounding means getting in touch with the essential nature of life. And we're going to do it mindfully. So mindfully is just a way of paying attention. Jon Kabat-Zinn, the person in the medical school who got this whole thing off the ground many years ago, talks about mindfulness as bringing yourself into the present moment on purpose, non-judgmentally. And that when you do this, when you bring yourself into the present moment on purpose and non-judgmentally, that's the trigger for all these wonderful things I was talking about. So now I want to define by non-judgmental. When our mind is calling things good or bad, that's good, that's bad, I'm afraid, I love, when your mind is yammering at you, sitting on your shoulder, talking a mile a minute, and especially when it has you upset, that's called judgment. And the thing about judgment is if you're really in deep judgment, you're less healthy. When you're freaked out, your immune system starts to turn off. And we're going to talk about that today. It's been scientifically shown. And there's a reason for that. So being able to be non-judgmental in a situation like now, where we're talking about a contagious organism, can be life-saving. So it's really important to learn how to be in non-judgment. Now, the good thing about non-judgment is once you've learned how to do it, it protects you from being afraid. It protects you from being freaked out. It protects you from not enjoying life. Because when we're in judgment, we're typically not enjoying life. Because when you're in judgment, you're saying, this is good and that's bad, and I got the bad part, so I need to be upset. It has this quality of casting blame. It's not my fault. It's their fault, his fault, her fault. They should have been different, and we get ourselves all cranked up, all upset. There's biological reasons for that. I'm going to go into that in a minute. But this judgment gets us into all kinds of trouble. So when Jon Kabat-Zinn says we need to be non-judgmental, he's saying something really important. We're paying attention in the present moment on purpose, non-judgmentally. When we get the judgment out of the picture, that's when all the good things happen. So let's look at this handout I was talking about, mindfully grounding yourself in essential life. So I'm also recording this as an MP3 recording, so I'm going to restart at this point so that anybody who just wants to re-listen to the scientific information can start here.